Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after. Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for staying with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, a small business advocate, and I'm glad you're here. Linda Ireland is with us, ladies and gentlemen. Linda is the president of Avius LLC. It's a global strategy and organizational change organization out of the great state of Minnesota, or Minnesota, as they say up there. She's the author of Domino, and it's all about using the customer experience to find your success in the future. And she's here to talk to us about some of that. Linda Ireland, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. It's really great to be back.
It's good to have you back. Linda, we've gone through the most dramatic economic time of my career, my long, multi-decade career. And, I mean, I don't look back at my career and talk about years. I talk about decades. That's how long I've been around. And so this is my seventh recession to go through, Linda. You're a lot younger than me, so you don't remember a lot of the others, the ones that I do. But I just was telling my audience a minute ago something I've been saying now for quite some time, and that is that we're in a kind of a never-never land here in 2009, that is a buffer between where we used to be, what we used to do, the prior market era, between that era and where we're going to go, which is what I'm considering to be a new era in our marketplace. I think that we're heading into an area that we've never been before. It's going to be quite a bit different. Challenges and opportunities are going to look a lot different than they have in the past. What do you think?
I couldn't agree more. You know, when I talk to leaders, I often feel as if there's a group that I'll call the hedgehog group and some that I'll call the hockey group, the Wayne Gretzky group.
Yeah.
Because some leaders I meet feel as if, and they're becoming fewer by the day.
They're dinosaurs.
Yeah, some are, you know, hunkering down and curling themselves into a ball like hedgehogs, and they use words like recovery, and we'll just batten down the hatches until things go back to the way they were. And more leaders that I meet today, in fact, I think the smarter ones, are taking a tip from Wayne Gretzky, who said, "I just skate to where the puck's going to be."
I don't skate where it is, I skate where it's going.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they're the leaders who think, you know, nothing's going back, that fundamentals in our marketplace, how money moves, how capital and debt moves, how consumers behave, regardless of
how we all feel about risk.
Exactly. That so many of those fundamental markers in our marketplace have changed that we're never going back to what was.
Well,
absolutely about going to where the future is.
We are now without a bunch of the institutions that we had in the past.
Exactly.
Institutions that many of them even withstood the Great Depression, didn't make it through this one. The government attitude, our government's attitude toward the marketplace is evolving, and not always in a way that's good for businesses. There's some of that, and then there. I think regardless, and I'm not talking about any one party, Linda. I think government is going to believe that they need to have more of a role in the marketplace in the future, and that's gonna impact our new era, isn't it?
I think it might. You know, if we always thought about government's role as being setting up the framework and the incentives for the marketplace to behave as it should, I'm not quite sure, and depending on, as you said, which party you might be in, you might define whether they're getting more involved in writing more regulation or whether the framework and the incentives and the regulation that we had was designed for the old world and now simply needs to change.
Well, that may be so, but regardless, in the new world, I am concerned, and again, this is not about any particular party. I'm talking about the political class. I am concerned that the government is, let me put it this way, part of our future will have more influence from public policy than has a part of our future than has in the past, in my opinion, whether we like it or not. But the main thing to that I want you and I to talk about today, Linda, is how we can run our businesses, get our businesses set up for the future. And one of the ways we got to do that is to be more efficient with not only the way we operate our businesses, but the way we reach out to customers.
Absolutely.
Talk to us about
in
that.
In fact, I would argue that the future of your customer experience is your financial performance.
Explain that.
Well, so many... today I meet a lot of leaders, you know, we talk about this trade-off, and in my business, Avius, we find that many people give us compliments and they say, wow, you're just really great at finding money that's trapped in my business while strengthening my customer experience. And we really appreciate getting kudos for both halves of the sentence.
Mm-hmm.
As you can imagine, in this tough economic environment, more of our conversations start with the front half of the sentence. More people come to us and say, I just really have got to find money that's trapped in my business because I need to fund my growth or I need to survive.
Mm-hmm.
And they're feeling trapped that they're making those decisions of, I just, you know, I've got to cut all my discretionary spending. I've got to cut everywhere.
They've already laid off everybody they can possibly lay off.
Exactly. And they're worried.
They already aren't paying themselves enough, and maybe in some cases not at all.
Exactly. And they're worried that they might be destroying their chances for sustainable growth.
Right. By laying off their brain trust, cutting too close to the bone.
Exactly. When you're cutting for the sake of cutting, just to survive, it is really easy to fall into feeling that way. I've been there.
And desperate people do desperate things, don't they?
Exactly. And so when you think about how you treat customers, and if we take our tip from Wayne Gretzky about skating where the puck's
mm-hmm.
going to be, this is also a time to re-ask yourself the question, what problem do I really solve for my customers? Why? How would my customers' lives be different, and for the worse, if my business wasn't there?
Mm-hmm.
And if the answer to that question is changing, then it's also on you as a business owner to say, how am I going to reshape all my operating decisions, the products and services I offer, the talent I keep on staff, where we choose to locate our business,
right,
so that we can best answer that future-faced question.
And isn't this one of the biggest mistakes that businesses make? And that is that they still are living on, they're still planning around how they used to add value to customer relationships rather than where they're going to be adding value.
I think that's one great way to say it, Jim. And if I could add to that great statement, what I'd say is that many businesses, regardless of economic conditions, can fall into the trap of selling something as opposed to solving
There you go. The key to success is not difficult, is it, Linda? Just ask customers what they want and give it to them. Stand by. Quick break, 20 after the hour. Linda Ireland is our guest. Her book is called Domino. It's all about the customer, folks. It's not simple. It's not complicated, folks. It's all about the customer. 20 after. And by the way, the customer is, that customer's puck is somewhere else. Welcome back. It's 23 after. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you for going there and using it to your advantage. Don't forget to check out my newsletter while you're there and subscribe to that. We'll send it to you every Sunday afternoon by email, get you ready for the week ahead. Don't forget all the other things you can do. You can read, you can listen, you can ask questions, you can get answers, and lots of other stuff there at smallbusinessadvocate.com. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blasingame. Linda Ireland is with us, folks. Her name is just like the country, Ireland, and her book is called Domino. She's a change expert, helping companies not only deal with change, Linda, but also actually lead with change, right?
Absolutely.
And we need to know how to find you online and how to find your book, too.
Well, you can find Domino at Amazon or Barnes & Noble, and you can find my company, Avius, at avius.com. That's A, V as in Victor, EUS.com. And you can find my blog and at a URL that's great for fodder for this conversation. It's customerexperienceforprofit.com.
All right. That's her blog, so check that out, folks. Lots of good stuff there. Okay, Linda, we're talking about finding your success in the future, meaning like today, later today. that part of you, not just 5 years now, folks, but how about right after lunch? Finding the key to success for your future in the way you think about customers, how customers think about you. And I actually, You know, I've been talking about this a lot lately in some articles I've written and some speeches I've given and other things. It's just not complicated. You just got to keep checking back with your customers, don't you?
Well, you know, one of my clients who is now a friend made this comment to me one day. He said, you know, these questions are simple. They're just not easy. And where we left off on the break, I thought was a great point. You know, this notion of resetting your business mm-hmm. by finding out what problem you solve for your customers. And which, again, a very, very simple question. And it's really about thinking not about everybody you serve, but think about those customers that are really the ones that are driving the growth and profitability in your organization.
Why do you think we don't ask that question? And do you think it's because... Do you think it's because we just don't want to know the answer? The answer is going to hurt too much. It's going to upset our little apple cart.
Well, that's one answer, but I think there's a couple others that I think are also relevant. And the first one is that it's just easier to sell stuff than it is to start figuring out what problem we solve.
It's so much easier to tell them what we have to sell,
exactly.
Rather than ask them what they want,
exactly.
Isn't it?
Exactly. You know, we started the conversation by talking about Avius, and I said, you know, clients tell us that we're great at finding money in the business while strengthening the customer experience. An easier way to sell that is to tell you that we're a consulting and education company.
Yeah.
You know, but, okay, so that's what I sell. And that's kind of like what I call 52-card pickup, you know, just spread all the cards out on the table and say, come pick something
right,
we have to offer.
See, I remember, Linda, as I said earlier, you're a lot younger than me, so you don't remember this, but I actually remember when people could make a living with the product of the month.
I agree, but you know those businesses are I'll call them not sustainable.
They're already gone. I mean, that was a nice trip down memory lane. I mean,
they're struggling. I mean, look at GM. You know, they tried to be a little bit of everything to everybody, and they really lost track of what they were really solving.
They should have changed their name to Specific Motors instead of General Motors, shouldn't they?
Yeah, there you go. There you go. And so I think that notion of it's just easier to sell stuff, because you see what you have, and it's easier to lay out the table and ask people to come pick. The second reason, and it goes back to your comment about asking customers, sometimes customers don't give us good answers.
Ah.
And, you know, Henry Ford always said if I would have asked my customers what they wanted, they'd ask for a faster horse. Because as customers, we can't necessarily envision what the next thing is.
Well, let me give you an example. When I was with Xerox, we had a copier that came out about 1979 called the 4000, and it was the first automatic duplexing, automatic two-sided copier. But when we started selling that thing, we asked customers in order to find out whether they were a prospect. We said, "How much two-sided copying are you doing?" You know what they said? None.
Exactly.
Because they weren't doing it. They couldn't. They didn't know how. They had no. You know, didn't really have the capability. So that was the wrong question to ask them.
Exactly. So if you would have thought about it, what the problem that you were really solving was the opportunity for their meetings not to be so laden with paper and for traveling salesmen not to have to carry so much.
That's
and
what we
to
had
improve
to
improve the environment.
That's what we had to start doing. We had to start saying, you know, how much paper are you using? How would you then they'd tell us an answer. Then we'd say, how would you like to cut that in half? You know,
there
things
you
like
go.
That. And so you're right. It's not always the customer's responsibility. It's not that they're being deceptive, it's just that they don't know what's on your they don't know what's possible, do they? All
exactly.
The time.
So follow that string all the way through. If you in your business today were to say, what problem am I solving for my customers? And then ask the question of, okay, after lunch today, because you gave us this challenge, what am I going to do to be mm-hmm. more successful after lunch today? How would that change? How does that answer change how I'm making decisions about what products and services I offer, what people I hire, whether should I, you know, whether when I start to invest in a new piece of equipment, whether it should be this one or that one, how could that answer about what need you solve drive all those decisions? Because what we found in our research is that those organizations that do the best job at solving needs, they're actually twice as likely to beat their financial objectives.
And they're the ones who didn't have such a bad time in 2009. They're the ones who are going to launch in 2010 and claim this new era. Linda Ireland, will you come back soon? We've got more on this to talk about. You got a lot more to teach us.
I'd love to come back, Jim.
It's a lot of fun having you here. Thanks for being here.
You bet.
We'll see you next time. Linda Ireland, ladies and gentlemen. The book is called Domino. Hope you'll check it out. Quick break. Stay with me. I'll be right back. I'm Jim Blasingame.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.